blessing when I see the dark clouds parting. When the rain is gone and the sun is breaking through, I anticipate my life will be just normal. Just to close my weary eyes and rest in you. My heart can rest so easy when there's blue skies.
Let's open our Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just remember the Williams family this morning. Little Griffin's not feeling good this morning or last night. So just pray that the Lord would touch him. just touch him with his healing hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Say amen when you're there. Very familiar reading of scriptures. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, it is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Again, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just want to just place this service within your hands and ask God that you'd break the bread of life with your children today. Lord, we love you. We thank you because of your faithfulness to be here with your people, to be in the house of God, to let your Holy Spirit come and begin to move upon us and woo us. And Lord, we just appreciate you coming and being here with us and lifting us up into your presence. And we ask God today that you just continue to lead us and guide us, to spread your word, speak it into our hearts, and just give us the strength that we need in this day that we live in. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you may be seated, the title of this today, When That Which Is Perfect Is Come. When That Which Is Perfect Is Come. And we love the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Brother Ram told us that the book of Corinthians is a book of correction. And, you know, if you look at it and you think about it, you know, they obviously had a lot of things going on there of squabbles and different things that happened. And so they were, I would consider, in a very immature church, I guess, as you would say. And so, because of that situation there in Corinthians, Brother Paul had to bring all kinds of instructions and corrections there to them. And so, if it had not been for Corinthians being the way they were, then there's a lot of excellent teachings we wouldn't have, right? Mm-hmm. And so, we know that God knows how to do everything right, properly, and he does all things well. And so, he knows how to take our mistakes and actually make them as stepping stones, not stumbling blocks, but stepping stones for different ones. And so he took the weaknesses there in Corinthians, and Paul began to teach them, and then it became writings in the scriptures and is good teachings. And how many remember that Paul is the one that laid the foundation for the Gentile church? God chose him to bring to us Gentiles the gospel, because it wasn't to us to begin with. Brought it to us, and so Paul tells us, you know, let every man take heed how he builds on this foundation, Because if you build on something other than what was laid, well, then it's not on the body or the building of God. It's not on the body of Christ.
Right.
So we know that Brother Branham came speaking the same thing Paul spoke. We're all familiar with the vision Brother Branham had, or whatever it was, where he was carried over and past the curtain of time and saw all the saints there, and they were all in young bodies and long shaggy hair and all the different things there that Brother Graham told us about, what the scripture lets us know that things will be like hereafter. And he was there, and all those people coming there, his converts, calling him my precious brother, even his wife, Hope, calling him my precious brother. And in that realm, you remember how the whole story went there was that Jesus, he said, well, I want to see Jesus. And they said, well, you can't see him yet because he's a little higher, but someday he will come, and when he comes, he'll come to you and he'll judge you. And if your message, if you're accepted, then all your converts will be accepted. And Brother Branham made this statement in that place that he said was beyond sublime. Words couldn't describe it. Couldn't get old. Couldn't have pain. There was no tomorrow. It was just that wonderful eternal hereafter, I guess, is what we could call it. And so in that realm where there could be no lie, couldn't be a falsehood, and he said in that place, he said, well, does Paul have to stand like that? Well, will Jesus have to come to Paul and judge what Paul taught? And they said, yes. And so Brother Brandon made this profound statement in that place. You know, and those people on that other side, that was people from here. Brother Brown telling in some cases there, he told of a specific woman that he knew that he knew growing up, and she had passed away early in life because she died in childbearing. And he said, I saw her there. She came and put her arms around him, said, my precious brother. Perhaps he saw us. Maybe we came to him and said, our precious brother. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And so, because in that realm, in eternity, see, there is no time.
Right.
You say, well, I wasn't even born yet. There's not even no difference. In God's economy, we're all represented in that realm.
Right.
And so, in that place, Brother Rem said, well, if Paul is accepted, then I will be, because I've not divvied one bit from what Paul said. And all of those people, there perhaps was even us in that realm, that said, we know that, that you've not deviated one bit from what Paul taught us, and we're resting on that. And I want to ask you this morning, saints, do you know that?
Amen.
Do you know that Brother Branham, what he taught, did not deviate from what Paul taught?
Right.
Because if you don't know that yet, you need to. Because that's the cry of the people that's underneath this message. Is there, in that realm, there must have been something very pivotal about that whole thing. That in that realm, that the saints could shout and say, we know that. We know that you stayed with what Paul taught. And we're resting on that.
Right.
Because we understand that Jesus Christ picked Paul to bring this gospel and lay a foundation for the entire Gentile church to be built on. And here we are at the top of this building, almost completed, and we must know that we're on the right foundation. We have to know that.
Right.
And so, to understand and rest on that fact that we're believing a message that is not different than what Apostle Paul taught, but it is the message that he taught. Might be a further understanding of it. We understand that too. And so we know Brother Graham came speaking what Paul spoke, but also Brother Graham had to go beyond what Paul spoke, not changing it, but in the full form, because as Paul said, we see, you know, darkly, we know things in part, but there's coming a day and a time where we're not going to see things in part anymore. We're going to know things in its fullness. And Brother Branham, part of that end time ministry, that last messenger, last church age messenger, his job was to take and tie up all the loose ends and take and say what was truth and correct those things that were not. And so He came along and preached what Paul taught, and then further opened up what Paul was telling us. And we can see that the things he said is on that foundation of what Paul taught us. So we know that. Paul is saying that there would come a time when all things that are in part would be put aside, laid aside, because that which is perfect is come. That's why, you know, how many's ever, I don't know, maybe some of the men, but how many's ever tried to drive a nail with a rock? I've done it. I've tried. Why would I continue to try and drive a nail with a rock when there's a perfectly good hammer that can do so much better?
Right.
Yeah. Now, if you don't have the hammer, by all means, use the rock. Right? But when something better comes along, well, it would be foolish for us to continue to try something in part that can't do what that which is in complete and full can do. And so Paul had a message, but it was in part. But he in himself was speaking that there would come a time where that which is in part can be put away because that which is perfect will come.
Right?
That's what he's telling us. I know this is controversial across the message especially, but we have to stay on what Paul taught, and we have to take what God expounded through the prophet on this, and we have to know that that's the truth of the matter. And so Paul is saying that there will come a time when those things will be done away with because that which is perfect is come. We know that God is an on-time God, right? He's always on time. And so my canary brain way of looking at it is that if there's a time coming when God is going to bring something that is perfect, it will be because that which is in part cannot meet the challenge of the day.
Right.
Follow me? Because God knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't do stuff for naught, just haphazardly. He knows exactly what he's doing. Very timely. So that if he would bring something that would surpass all those things we've had in part for so long, it'll be because that's what's needed for the hour.
Right.
And remember, all roads go to Jesus Christ. All points to him. And so in that hour, every eye will behold and know it's all him.
Right?
But prior to that, there's room for there to be confusion and things like that. Because why? It's in part. So he's telling us this. We read chapter 13, but I'm just going to speak. You can go read it. Chapter 12, 13, 14. In chapter 12, Paul begins to set in order spiritual gifts. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant. In other words, listen to what I'm telling you. I don't want you to keep on going down this pathway you're going.
Right.
And so he began to teach, and I'm just going to hit several things that he spoke of as he goes through that. First of all, he said, a man can't even call Jesus Christ Lord until he's got the Holy Ghost. If you're familiar with scriptures, you'll know what I'm saying. He said, yep, that's what he said. That's it. Yep. So a man must have the Holy Ghost before he can even call Jesus Christ Lord. But by the Holy Ghost, right? And then he says that he gives gifts to men. And those gifts that he gives them out the way he wants them. He divides it out and he says, this one will have that, and this one will do that, and this sister will sing, and her songs will bless people, and this brother back here. And he says, this is what their gift, this is how I'm going to work through them. He divides that out as he wills, not what you want, what you want, what you want, what you want, but as how he wills it.
Right.
He divides that out when he comes in the Holy Ghost upon him, and you have that new birth, and you can now call him Lord. He will work through each person as he sees fit, not necessarily what they want, but to what he wants. And those gifts, once they're in there, they're every one operated by the one and self-same Spirit. Same Spirit.
Right.
Can cause someone to be a song leader and bless the body as somebody to be a preacher, a prophet, a pastor, whatever it is. It's the same Holy Spirit working through each of those gifts, but he's dividing out the way he wants it. And so each one of them becomes part of the body of Christ. Each one of them are members. And each member is absolutely required to be in that body. And no member can say, well, since I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body. Because we can be guilty of doing it. Say, you know what? I wish I was like that brother. And I guess since I can't preach like him, or I can't sing like him, or I don't, whatever it is, I guess I'm not part of it. And Paul says, no, you can't say that. Because you've got a place in the body of Christ that no one else can cover. And he says also that another person can't say, well, because you're not like me, you're not part of the body. Paul says you can't do that. Because there has to come a very clear understanding with every one of us that even the least of us is absolutely required in the body of Christ. Paul talks about how that there are some members of your body that you don't even see them, but they're pretty important.
Right.
I've never seen my brain or my heart or my liver or yours, but I'm pretty sure they're pretty important. Right?
Yeah.
And all natural type spiritual. So we all belong. And so Paul goes on, he says, covet the best of these gifts. Yes, covet. Covet that God can work through you. But I will show you a more excellent way. Now he's talking about spiritual gifts, tongues, prophecy, interpretation, discernment, all those things. But it spans out into apostles, prophets, diversities, helps, and governments, and all different things. They're all things that God has. So Paul says, sure, covet the best of the gifts. You want to be used of God. He said, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And that ended chapter 12. And so he starts in chapter 13. And remember, when the Bible was written, those chapters weren't there.
Right.
Man divided those up, and of course we know God was in that, but chapter 13. And so Paul is telling us that we read it, that no matter how much spiritual gifts, whether you can prophesy and have all faith and can move mountains and give your body to be burned and feed the poor and all, no matter any of that stuff, if you don't have charity, it's not any good. It's nothing. Now, we're not saying that. Paul said that. What? Paul said it. And so he's saying that there is a more excellent way that can come that requires us to have charity. Now, as we said a while ago, Brother Branham had to speak what Paul spoke. And he did. So if Paul said what we just mentioned there, that with all these gifts and things like that, and without charity, without love, and I'm not talking about human love, because human love has limits.
Right.
God's love does not have limits. And it said charity never faileth. So then wouldn't Brother Branham say the same thing? And yes, he would, and he did. In God projecting his love, Brother Branham, and I think I've read this quote a couple times before. It's been a while, but he said, I think one of the things that's needed in the great universal church of God tonight is love. We do not need all these other things as much as we think we do.
Right.
And all these other things, our emotions and our gifts, they're wonderful. And God, we give praise. And to God we give praise. But if those gifts are not governed by love, then they are not effective. Now think about it. I don't know how many of you come from Pentecost, and even my experience of what I've seen in the message. You know, you can see spiritual gifts, you can see things operated, and you see that, you know, look at Pentecost. Look what has it produced.
Right.
And so we must remember, we're not living in Paul's day, we're living down here where these things have come to full, it's harvest time where all the evil has come to full, and also God's church is to come to its fullness. So Brother Ram did say the same thing, that it's got to be governed by love. And so this kind of love, to me, is God's love, agape love, because in contrast, it can never fail, whereas human love and does fail. We must remember that only in the attributes of God are all things possible. If you get outside of God, then it's failures. So everything has to lead back to Him. And all the way down here at the end time, when we're coming in and we're headed to rapture, everything has to come to Him, because He's the only one that's a creator and the only one that can make it truly happen.
Right.
So we must grow up into Him. These things must all come to Him. All this other stuff that's in partiality has to pass away, because now we are all focused on Him.
Right.
And it's Him that we want,
right,
not something less.
Right.
I say these things because here in this hour is a, we want revival. We want it to be the right thing. We don't want a revival in that which is partial. Now, in previous days, that might have been fine. But in this hour, where a message has shown and proved to you, and it quotes to back this up, that we've come to this hour that there's something different here now that wasn't through the ages.
Right.
And by God's grace, we'll talk and expound on that this morning. And so, Paul is not saying, well, do away with spiritual gifts. But he's telling us that there's a higher order where divine love can be in control. It's not to say you can't have tongues, prophecy, interpretations, discernment, whatever. But if we've come into a time that if we want the success, if we want the results, that I trust that is in our hearts, that in us, we're coming to this place where we're not happy with that which is partial anymore.
Right.
We're coming to this place where our focus, our desires, our hungers must be on the fullness of this word being manifested like He's promised, not something less. And so, He's not saying you have to get rid of those things, but yet there's a higher order that can come and govern those things. Then they'll be effective properly. But outside of that, and it's worth noting here, is that spiritual gifts can be operated outside of the realm of that higher order I'm talking about that he said would come.
Right.
Right? We know that. We've seen it. And so there is this time coming Paul was speaking of. A time as redemption unfolds and we come down to the end time. There's a time where he said that at that time, we will know as we are known. Because, right, you know, Paul said, you know, we see through a glass darkly. We can't see clearly. We're trying to look at ourselves and we don't quite see it because it's dark. Can't see all the features about us. Can't really see who we are because it's dark.
Right?
And it's just in part, but he said, but then... And this day he's talking about when we come, we're going to see face to face. We're going to see clearly all the features, we're going to see who we are. And at that time, we won't know in part, but we will know as we are known. Who knows you better than anybody else? God does.
Right.
Who put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? God did. But at some point, we come to a place where we clearly understand that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We clearly understand we are sons and daughters of God. A threshold, as I've been speaking of, that we get beyond. And so, the time where these things would come, and when he says we'll know as we are known, when I hear that, I'm thinking of a time when the seals was open and we begin to see our names on that book. We begin to understand who we are. Paul goes on to say, and this is in the 14th chapter after 13, he begins to go on and say, you know, yeah, spiritual gifts, prophecy, tongues. But he said, make sure as you do this, make sure you're edifying.
Right?
Make sure that you edify. Because if somebody, because remember Brother Branham also in this hour, look what he had to contend with. The fanaticism of Pentecost.
Right.
The real thing laying there, but the fanaticism. So he's having to address that, just like Paul's having to address it with the Corinthians.
Right.
Alpha and Omega, You know, what happened there? We see it. So Paul goes on and he's saying, listen, if somebody comes in, all you do is speak in tongues, you're like a barbarian. So Paul is saying, in the whole thing, 14 chapters, make sure that what you do is you're edifying.
Right.
Because you can edify yourself and not anybody else. And that's okay. God has spiritual gifts. He has it such that you can edify yourself in your prayer closet at home and all the things that we know that Brother Bam has talked about. You can do that. But when it's in the house of God, make sure you're edifying others. So that it can't be just tongue, but it has to be interpretation, it has to be prophecy. Paul said, I speak in tongue more than everybody, but I'd rather speak five words in my own language and people be able to understand it than nonsense of something that, I say nonsense because it can't be, they can't understand it, be like a barbarian. A heavenly language is not nonsense, you understand, but there's a place for it. And so Paul, the one who laid this foundation, is saying, make sure that you edify. He said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but not all things edify.
Right.
Not all things will build up. And so in Pentecost, they get just a blurring of everything. And nobody's edifying. So he said, make sure that you're edifying. And because God is not the author of confusion, and in there he's talking about women not preaching, right? And so what is he saying? He's speaking of let it be a supreme control, that these gifts operate underneath the control of the Holy Spirit. And he ends it by saying, and let everyone, you know, that let everyone acknowledge that what I'm telling here is commandments of the Lord. So what happens if a people do not obey that? What if we don't obey that? What if we say, well, you know, Paul, you know, we just go right off and do the same? Then guess what happens? When we deviate from that, that is a stronghold, a foothold for Satan to use, and yes, he'll use it. And next thing you know, you got confusion going on, and you got something like we've seen in Pentecost, where there was a restoration of the gifts, but look how it all went. Not speaking evil of, because that was a move of God. So, you remember, and we need to read it, but Paul was saying, we spoke of how God would divide out severally as he will. He would give gifts to whoever he will like he would want to. And so, remember the other day, I was reading the quote where Brother Bram said, don't seek nothing. When those guys said, we got the Holy Ghost, shall we seek for gifts? And he said, don't seek nothing. If God has something for you, he'll give it to you.
Right.
And there's something to be said about that, because what you find out that if you're naturally good at something, then that people recognize that gift makes room for you. You don't have to go out and try to be that. People are naturally gifted in these areas that God has gifted.
Right.
And just when they're being themselves, that gift is shining. They're just being themselves.
Right.
You don't have to seek it. You just are it. Why? See? Sheep don't have to go out and seek how to bear wool. They just bear it.
Because
that's who they are. And so we as gifted people, that's just who we are. That's just what we bear. Because he placed it there. And so Paul said, make sure that you're not trying to be something else. Just be yourself. So Brother Bram said, don't be seeking nothing like that. Just, if God's got something for you, he'll give it to you. And next thing you know, it'll start bearing fruit in you. And next thing you know, it'll take off. If God wants you to have a gift of prophecy, just being yourself in the Lord, that'll unfold and begin to manifest itself. You don't have to try. Don't have to work it up. You don't have to try to see a vision. If God wants to give you one, he'll give you one. So you don't have to manufacture nothing. Just live close to God and let him do what he wants to do.
Right.
And when that happens, then it's edifying and it's in supreme control. Amen. So don't you seek anything. If God's got something for you, well, he'll give it to you. And you might say, well, oh, but I want power. I got to do something from the Lord. I want to do something for God. We all do want to do something. But Brother Branham is telling us that we must humble to the plans of God. We must humble ourselves down to what it is He called us to be, while He's naturally working through us, and us not trying to seek something outside of that. It just naturally comes. And there are stages in our lives where God can add to and bring another gift out. That's perfectly fine, so long as God's doing it. Brother Bram told us in the quote, "Humble thyself." People wanting power, wanting to do something for the Lord. Brother Bram says, you know, people want power, and really they don't know what power is, see? They don't really know what goes with it. The way up is down always. If you want power, see how humble you can get. Just get away from all your worldly thinking and humble yourself before God, and then you've got more power than the man that runs all over the building and makes a big lot of noise, because you've been able to conquer yourself and commit yourself to Christ, to humble yourself before Him. That's really power. You show me a church that's humble, real humble, not an arrogant church, but a sweet, humble church, and I'll show you a church that has favor and power with God in it. That's right. That's the thing it takes, humility. Humbling ourselves before God and letting God just work through us. You don't have to make a lot of noise. Remember, He's speaking to Pentecost, right? He's having to correct Pentecost.
Right.
Because, you know, Jesus said, don't be like these guys that think they're heard by much prayers and all this stuff. He said, that's not it. See? You don't have to be big things. Just be humble. And
right.
God will work through humility. Just a little church. A little church that's humble. He'll work through it. Amen. So, as Brother Branham would say, here it is. Here's what I'm trying to say this morning. Just live as close to Him as you can. And He is the Word.
Right.
And He'll bring to pass in your life what He wants you to have when He's ready. And when I wrote that down, when He's ready, I put in parentheses there, when you're ready. Because He's not ready until He knows you're ready. There's a mindset or a revelation, an obedience, a thing that has to take place in us. And when that's really there, genuinely by the Holy Spirit, truly under our belt, then God says, okay, now you're ready. And then He'll let that go. Because listen, if you're a child of God, He will have to say no to you if you're wanting something that you're not ready for, that would destroy you, would be more than you can handle, that would mess up and wind up in a shipwreck. You understand? God sometimes tells you no to humble you. You have to think about that. And if that's, then we should say, yes, Lord. If you want me to have to wait 25 years for your promise, then I'm going to wait. Amen? So, He'll do it when we're ready, when He knows we're ready. Supreme control. I'll read a quote here, just a little bit about that. But, you know, Paul is telling us these things, and Brother Graham comes along preaching the same thing and bringing it out in more clarity. And as I said a while ago, it must be edifying. Must be edifying. These spiritual gifts must be edifying, and they must be exact. Brother Graham said that prophecy, you know, tongues and interpretation or prophecy, isn't to just be saying, well, the Lord's coming, and, you know, because the preacher says that. That's what Brother Branham said. The preacher says that. But he says it must be very specific, and he gave an example. Brother so-and-so, don't go to your sand pit because the truck's going to turn over and so-and-so. And they said, Brother Branham, you put us on the spot. You put us on the spot telling us that these, because in Pentecost, there's all this tongues and all this prophecy and never any accountability. Because most of it don't happen. Nothing, right? Just very seldom. I've seen a lot of it. And only a few of those that I actually saw come to pass. And so, not saying it don't exist, but I can speak because I come from it. I've seen it.
Right.
I did see some that come to pass, you know, that was right, but must be exact. So they can't just be generality like that. And he said, you put us on the spot, Brother Branham. And he said, ain't I on the spot when I'm out there in front of thousands of people? And he said, but I believe God's promise. And that's how it is. It's spiritual gifts. If you believe God's promise and you're really where you should be, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. But because they're not sure, they back off, but they want the fame, or they want, hey, we got the Holy Ghost. And so next thing you know, yeah, there's tongues, there's lots of that. And then these prophecies, Brother Ben said that interpretation is that you actually hear it, what's being said.
Right.
It's not like, well, that was, I don't know, but I feel impressed to say. It's not what it is. Right? Then this is a message. This is what he said. If it's not, maybe I had to show you, but this is what he said. That when these tongues come out and there's an interpreter, that person is hearing it clearly in their own language. And I've heard testimonies where that's happened. Ministers, other ministers in the message.
Right.
I had in Mexico, maybe you remember talking about it, when I was, Brother Miller was translating for me. And he had to come to a spot where he didn't know what to say, and a guy out there in the congregation who did not know English told him what to say. And we interviewed the guy afterwards.
Right.
And different, I heard another testimony of a brother that he was, I think it was Arabic like that, and the translator, and he started answering the question that the guy asked, and the translator said, I've not even translated it yet. He said, but I heard it. I heard what he asked. This should not be a small thing for God to do this, right? I mean, it's not hard for him to do it. It is a small thing, I mean. You have to understand, God can do these things. And so, but this is what the prophet taught. And you see it there. There is the tongue of man and angels. Right?
Right.
And the tongue of angels, there's a language that no man understandeth. But in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, right? We understand those things. But here's the prophet telling us that these things must be accurate. And then if it's not, get that spirit out. Right? And it must be true. It must be real. It must be genuine. And so, I remember years ago, and here in this church in Pentecost, and then I came to the message, and I was gone for a while like that, and the Lord opened a door, spoke, you know, and opened a door for me to come here, and I came for once a week for about 11 months, sharing the message once a week in a Pentecostal church. Brother Perryman and his wife and their congregation that was here, and of course, y'all don't, my wife knew Sister Perryman, but she had a gift of tongues and interpretation, prophecy. She, I've seen where people would come here because they needed an answer, and they would come here because they knew they'd get an answer. And I knew that back in Pentecost there was all kinds of, you know, preacher preaching and everybody jumping up and speaking in tongues, and the prophet taught us that is not to be.
Right.
And so when I came here, I wondered, right? Not necessarily that I would wonder that about her, but you've seen so much of it in Pentecost, and I wondered how it would happen that when I would be standing here preaching the message to those people, would somebody be trying to jump up and interrupt to speak in tongues? And not one time did it happen. There was many times, and I will tell you exactly what was spoke to his wife. Said, I have sent my word to you, and I am pleading with you. Use the word, I am pleading with you to hear these things. But in saying that, it was that she told me herself. She said, Brother Tony, it's so powerful when you're preaching up here. She said, I just almost can't hold it. But she always held it. Not one time did she ever jump up and interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
See, God has an order. God can make this stuff come out right.
Right.
It doesn't have to be haphazard. It can be accurate, on the spot, every time.
Right, yeah.
Because that's who he is. Right. But if it's in part, don't tell them what you'll get.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you understand? God's taking us somewhere. And may we have a desire and a hunger in our heart for these things. But the real thing, not just to go back into something that just, you know, that doesn't really do, because we've got a new challenge for the hour that only He can take care of. Amen. You know, there's so much of our walk, our Christian walk, most of it, and I'm not saying you walk out before people, right? Sure, you want to, you live out before people, but I'm talking about your Christian battles, your overcoming, your Christian walk, most of that's in private. Most of that's at home in your prayer closet. Brother Bram said, your long prayers are at home. Your 1 hour, 2 hour, all night, all day prayers as home in your closet. Because here in the house of God, use as much time as you can to that word. Because in Pentecost, He told how people would stand up in testimony services and all that. And next thing, you know, there's no time for the word. I've seen it. Many, many times back in Pentecost. Praise God, we had such an awesome service, the preacher didn't even get to preach. How many's ever heard that?
Yeah.
You see the problem. That might have been fine 200 or 300 years ago or whatever, but in this hour, that's a problem. Because
right.
We live in the days of the unfolding, of the manifesting of the complete Word of God before us and to be in us. And so, secret, you know, the third pull is secret. Third pull is not a public showing. So most of our overcoming has to, if you want to, as we've said many times, you know, that if you want to overcome Goliath, make sure you overcome the lion and the bear when nobody's watching.
Right.
And when you've got that back in your prayer closet, when you can live right when nobody's looking,
right. Yeah. Then
you'll leave it right out here when they are looking. And so, like I said a while ago, you can edify yourself. You can speak in tongues, and the scripture said you'll edify yourself, but you want to edify others. And Paul spoke of those things. Brother Branham, in a sermon called Why Are People So Tossed About? Brother Branham says, some people get the wrong impression of what the anointing is. Did you ever think of that? Now listen to what he's saying. When was the greatest anointing ever given to anyone? When was that? And what did they do when they had that anointing? I'll give you a minute to think about it, or a few seconds. What was the greatest anointing that ever came, and then what did that person do with that anointing when they had it? And he goes on to say, the greatest anointing that ever was given to anyone was Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure. Wow. Imagine what that would be to have the fullness of God in you.
Right.
When we enjoy just what part we have. Think about that. He had it without measure. And one day he entered into the temple and picked up the scroll and read and said, the Spirit of God is upon me. For he hath anointed me to preach the acceptable year, to bind up the broken hearts, to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind. And now we would think, if such an anointing was upon him, that had been prophesied 800 years before that it would come, and here he was with that type of anointing, the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon him, we would want to run all over the building and scream and holler. That's what we would expect. But he's correcting that. We expect wrong. This is the correction of Corinthians all the way into our day. The Bible said that he laid down the scroll and sat down, and precious words proceeded out of his mouth. That's what he done under the anointing. The anointing is not emotions. Really? We got to understand this. You can have emotions from the devil. You can have emotions from God. But the anointing is not emotions. The anointing is supreme power in control. Like in knowing exactly what and how. Knowing exactly what and how for the situation. That's the anointing. You get connected to that, and whatever's happening before you, you'll know what and you'll know how.
Yeah.
See? That's anointing. And so, to know exactly what and how, and Brother Branham said, see, and that's what's here. In the midst of the Pentecostal age, with all that, so Brother Branham said, see, that's what's here now. And we saw it in his ministry.
Right.
That's the one thing you'll hear him say. He always knew how to control the to deal with the situation. Not because it wasn't him, because he had already been partakers of what, and we want to throw it all off to the fact that he was a prophet. I understand that. But don't you understand he was our first fruits? That if we can come in total contact with the anointing of God, then God can work through us that way. Not that we'll be prophets and all that, but we can always live out and do and say the right thing for every moment that God would be glorified and his power would be released. Amen?
Amen.
We witnessed that in his ministry. I said earlier it takes divine love. Let me just try and go just this little way here just for a moment. To me, divine love is the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the scripture said God is love. Right? Divine love is the person of Jesus Christ, not just the gifts that he gives. Now, there is a difference in the person who gives the gift and the gift. The gift speaks of the person. The gift expresses a part of the person's will and a part of the person's character. The gift will speak that, but you realize that there's only so much of that character, or only so much of that person's will and his being that can be expressed through that gift. It's limited. So the gifts are not the person, but they do represent the person. And a certain portion of the person kind of goes in the gift, because people can kind of see who it is and what they want through that gift. But the gift is not the person.
Yeah. Right.
So the gift is in part. The only way you can get to the place where you're not in part is to have the person.
Amen.
You see? Brother Branham tells us in a sermon, then Jesus came. This is a controversial quote. Not that we want to be speaking on these things of controversy, but you feel a responsibility to make sure people are looking at the right thing and following the right thing. Then Jesus came. Brother Brim says, and after this morning, in that morning service, see, and after this morning, the Holy Spirit so beautifully coming down and bathing us in his great beauty, I was just inspired to speak them words and say, and here's what he said, some glorious day, all of those gifts that's in the church will just be set aside on the mantle, as it were. I thought it was interesting, Brother Tim singing that song, and he's saying, lay that sword upon the mantle. All the gifts that's in the church will be set aside on the mantle, as it were. And the Holy Spirit himself, not the gift, but the Holy Spirit himself will just take the church in such control of divine love until the sick will be healed, the blind will see, the lame will walk without being hands laid on them. And just it will be just one great unity. And he goes on to tell about a man that come into the service and was so bent over, his head was between his knees, and came in and sat him there while the preaching was going on. Do you understand? There can be such a divine environment, but it's an environment of unity, not division.
Right.
A unity where everyone wants one thing, and that's Jesus Christ to be what is seen when people come into the service. And so, just a unity. That there could be such an environment that when people come in, you wouldn't have to have a prayer line. You wouldn't have to have tongues, prophecy, interpretation. You wouldn't have to have laying on of hands. But just the environment itself would be such that people would be healed, blind would, eyes would open, lame would walk.
Right.
Do we believe that there can be an environment that way, or do we feel like, oh, it'll never work unless we do certain things? We've got to do this, and we got to do that, and we have to have a certain form, or God can't do these things. Really? He can do these things in that kind of environment. Why would he lay the gifts upon the mantle? You say, well, you know, I don't have a fireplace, but a lot of you do. Why do you put something up on your mantle? Well, maybe it's because you want to see it or whatever, but it's like any other shelf. You might need that. Might go over and get it sometime, whatever. But I don't need it. I don't need it, you know, and so I'll put it there, and yeah, we can, you know, it's there, and we can talk about it or whatever, and sometime we might get it and use it or whatever, but I don't need it right now. Don't need it always. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? Put it up on the mantle. But the whole thing is why? Because it's not needed. I don't need the rock on the mantle. I've got a hammer.
Right?
I don't need something that's partial because that which is in full is here now. It's not saying that those things don't exist, but it's back to what we said. Those things can operate through such a divine presence that just he does it. And it's then so when, you know, I don't remember, but how that, you know, people, well, brother so and so laid hands on me, God healed me, praise God, and then it's kind of tied to brother so and so a little bit, and brother I'm talking about, I said if it comes to the place where you know, if they just come in, and nobody has to lay hands on them, nobody's, you know, that he gets all the glory. And it all belongs to him anyway.
Right.
And so when we can come to such a place that I just want him, and it doesn't have to come through me. I just want him. And so when people come and say, oh, a presence of God, and my eyes have come open, I can walk now, whatever, then he gets the glory.
Right.
See? So this is what Brother Ram's talking about. It's not like saying, well, we don't want to have nothing anymore. It's speaking of a higher order that is there, that was exhibited in his ministry as a first fruit would be for us in ours. You say, Brother Tony, that's a tall order, but do we believe the promises of God? Amen.
Amen.
You know, Pentecost in 1904 was 1906. Was the restoration of the gifts. That's what that was.
Right.
But there was a real baptism of the Holy Ghost that wasn't.
Right.
We'll talk about it more here in just a moment. You pray that I get this done because I'm almost done. On the last page of notes. So those things would be put up on the mantle because there's something more perfect that has come and you don't need those so much. I know that's offensive to Pentecost. And you know, people who came up in Pentecost and now have come to the message, they still have a tendency to want to push Pentecost. Okay, that's fine. But there is something perfect that can outdo it all. Those were there as gifts that God gave us, but those gifts are not the person, and we're talking about the person coming now. Who can do it all.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Graham tells us in the sermon, the seed is not air with the shuck. Now you think about this. The seed is not air with shuck. I always thought it should be the other way around. The shuck is not air with the seed. Because the seed's going to get to go into the barn, and, you know, and the shuck's going to be burnt. But he said it that way. And the point he's trying to show us there is that when he says the seed is not air with the shuck, he's saying that the word is not air with Pentecost. And that's you're like, whoa, that's what he's saying. See, he tells us in there, he said that Abraham, you know, had two sons and so forth, but looked like Abraham had two sons, but really Abraham had three. Because he had Ishmael, he had Isaac, but his real seed of faith was Jesus.
Right.
So Abraham had three sons, like that. And he said, now, with Hagar, yeah, she brought forth a son of Abraham, But look what it was. It was through her being a concubine, and it was through not a very good example of the promise. And look what he brought. What brought forth a wild man. But then Sarah, she was really his wife, and so she brought forth, but it was slightly doubted there too. And she brought forth Isaac, and everybody thinks, oh, well, it's in Isaac. But no, it was in Jesus. And he comes along and he says, now Mary, see, it was Hagar, Sarah, Mary. Ishmael, Isaac, Jesus. And Brother Graham typed that and said, Hagar, that was Luther. Sarah, it's Wesley. Mary, Pentecost. Go listen to it. This is the way he's shown that. Mary, Pentecost. And he says to us, he said, listen, Luther was not the seed. He was a carrier of the seed. Right?
Right.
Wesley was not the seed, but he was a carrier of the seed. And then he comes and he says, Pentecost, Mary. Mary was not the seed. She was a carrier of the seed.
Right.
Pentecost, restoration of gifts, tongues, prophecy, interpretation. That's not the seed. That's just a carrier of the seed. Right? He talked about blade, tassel, shuck, justification, sanctification, and then Pentecost. Shuck had to pull away from the word. Gifts, tongues, prophecy, interpretation had to pull away to reveal the Son, the seed. Right? So, yeah, we want the power of God. We want Pentecost, but not the Pentecost that is just a carrier.
Right.
We want the move of God to take us from that right on into the seed, which is the Word, birthed in our lives.
Amen?
Amen. Luther wasn't the seed. Wesley wasn't the seed. Pentecost is not the seed. Here's what Brother Graham said. Mary denied the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus stayed behind, contending, was talking to all the priests and so forth, and they went several days' journey, and then they found that they thought he was with kinfolk, and they found out he wasn't, and so they got worried, and they come back and searched for him for several days. And when they found him with the priests, and he was speaking to them and contending with them, and they're like, well, where'd this guy come from with all this? Remember that? And when Mary came there, she said, what are you doing? Your father and I have sought for you for 4 days or whatever it was. Your father, Joseph. Now, her testimony was all this time that, hey, I was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. I had a Holy Ghost experience. And then right there in that crucial moment, she said, your father. She denied the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ when she said, I'm quoting your prophet. Okay? He said she denied the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Right.
And so has Pentecost denied the birth of the Word by taking tongues evidence. Mary, type Pentecost. Mary's not the seed. Pentecost is not the seed. Mary denied the birth of the Word, the supernatural birth, and Pentecost denied the birth of the Word by taking tongues as evidence. Notice this. Pentecost did not deny gifts. They didn't deny tongues, prophecies, interpretation. They didn't deny manifestations of the Spirit. They didn't deny none of that.
Right.
But you know what they did? They took that as the new birth. They took tongues as evidence of a new birth. And it's not.
Right.
And so your prophet is telling you, wake up, listen. There's a move of God that is the Word.
Yeah.
And Pentecost didn't do that. You realize that if someone's going to be wrong, somewhere along the way, they have to get off the Word somewhere. Because if they stay with it all the way, well, then they're the Word. So Pentecost had to get off there. And this is like a 1965 latter part of the year, Brother Brandon's, or actually it's middle, beginning and latter part, I think, twice that year that I know of, 65, that he's saying this. That the seed, Pentecost, listen, folks, you've got to go beyond this. And it's not, listen, we know that the fanaticism that happened in Luther, that wasn't even what God was talking about. There was a genuine move in Luther. That was a carrier of what was coming.
Right.
There was a genuine move in Wesley that was a carrier. But it's, you see. And so there was a genuine thing happening in Pentecost that was a carrier that brought us to where we are now, that we could have the full word.
Right.
Amen. So, the evidence. Remember how Brother Branham, throughout the years, and they would talk about what is the evidence of the Holy Ghost, And he finally got closer to the end. He said, "Only thing, the best thing that I can see, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is that you received the Word, all of it.
Right.
That's it. Because you used to think, well, it was love, or all these different things. No, it's receiving the Word. So the evidence is, and let me just say this: we're not just the receiving, but it is the birth of this Word in your life. Amen." The birth of the Word in your life with a personalized manifestation specific to you, because He delivered out to you what gifts He wants you to have, and that's what He wants you to express.
Right.
And if that's under the supreme control of the Holy Spirit, then that's who you are. Amen. We have that song. I don't know if I've sung it. It's been a long time, but the Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstance or what I feel or see, the Word is what's working mightily in me. This is what we're talking about. We've got to quit falling back to looking at circumstances, falling back to wanting all this lesser stuff. Let's press to the thing that God has told us is coming in this hour. The full manifestation of Him in supreme control in our lives. That our gifts would represent Him accurately and not in some partial form. Don't let anybody tell you, you must do this or you must do that or you don't have it. How many times we hear brothers say, well, if you don't shout, you don't have it. Methodists used to shout. Pentecostal, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have it. If you don't do this, you don't have it. And it's right all the way into the message. Well, if you don't do this, you don't got it. It's when you have the birth of the Word and God is living through you, living out that Word through you, expressing what He wants to express through you. It'll be the Word if it's Him. Making your... The thing is just to make sure that your heart is gripped by this Word. Amen. When that which is in part, or when that which is perfect is come. Brother Brown said in question and answers, 1 Corinthians 13 says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away with. So all these things like jumping up and down like a kid and trying to talk in tongues and all these other things, when that which is perfect, you hear what he's saying? And he said, and we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine vindication. Then that which is in part is done away with. When I was a child, I spake a child, I understood a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Brother Bram is saying, we do have the perfect interpretation of the Word. And not just an interpretation. How did he say that God would interpret His Word? By bringing it to pass. So we have the perfect interpretation of the Word with divine vindication. It means God has done something to prove it. Just like we were saying there, that an environment where people could come in and be healed just simply because of the presence of God, where God could get all the glory. Now, I've not read this quote before, but I just want to show you just why it's got to be the Word. Brother Branham says, in the lamb and the dove. Now, we know in the last days there's going to be a revival of supernatural. Praise God! Brother Tim's, oh, something's coming. Listen to what he said. Because God's test for us is the real thing. You pass this test, you meet the mark for him. He's happy with you. Jesus did it. He's got a bride that's going to do it too. Okay? We know that in the last day there's going to be a revival of supernatural that's not going to be of God. Do you hear that? That's not going to be of God. And we know that. But the way that we're to tell is by the Bible. That's right, by the Bible. Now, because he said, many will come to me in that day and say, I've done this and I've done that. And he'll say, depart from me. See, that's right. Now, it must absolutely be thus saith the Bible. It has to go back to these things that scriptural. Amen. Like I said, if it's wrong, I'll have to leave the word somewhere. And Brother Brand made that statement. He said, all of those denominations have left the word. All of them. I've had my own experiences with them. I told you, for 6 months, I was preaching once a week at Wednesday night service in a Baptist church. Pastor didn't have a baptistry, but there was a First Baptist up the road that did. And people decided they wanted to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he went up there to another church and baptized someone in the name of Jesus Christ with that pastor or some of them people present to see it. That's how much they believed what I was telling them in that service. But it came to the place where one of the guys who was so on fire for what he was hearing, listen to what I'm saying, he loved everything he heard every week. And I thought, man, this guy has really got it. And so I gave him a tape. Boom. God's only provided place of worship because that's a Trinity church. And I was preaching one, you know, what we believe. Man, I thought he'll come back on fire. He took that tape and he gave it to the pastor and he said, I'll not be back until you deal with this. And I asked the pastor, he told me, and I said, he said, we can't have you back until we meet with, you know, the deacons. We're going to meet and decide what to do because, you know, and I said, well, what was the problem? He said, well, I said, what was wrong on that tape? He said, well, it was just one thing where Brother Brim said, anyone who's been baptized in any other way other than the name of Jesus Christ is an adultery baptism. And so when they had their little meeting, said, no, we don't want this guy back. This man was rejoicing all the time on serpent seed. We went to 2 o'clock in the morning, we'd be standing out there after I'd be preaching. And we'd still be out there 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, just, you know. And I said, he called me and he said, well, can you get your deacon board together? We'll get together. And let's sit down and show me where this is wrong. And he wouldn't even try. Because, see, they know. They know they've deviated from the word. Mm-hmm. See? And of course, when I see that man now, the pastor now, he's in the times I've seen him, he goes the other way. Because they know. And I'm not saying anything about me. I'm just saying that, brother, sister, there's going to be here in an end time, a supernatural thing that's not going to be right. And we're going to have to know it. Right? And the way to know it is by staying with this word. Because somewhere along the way, though it be supernatural, somewhere they have to deviate from the word. That's why if you stay with the word, you can catch it.
Right.
It's not a fearful thing for you. Just stay with the word. Right? Just stay there. We'll read one more quote. Seed does not err with the sow. This is where we come right down to here. You say, I've danced in the spirit and jumped all around. Yeah, Hawks do the same, Brother Bram said, because he was talking about hawks, how they used to be like eagles, and, you know, they've fallen. And he said, yeah, hawks do the same. It's like the crows and the vultures. Brother Bram said, I'm not asking that. I'm not asking, did you shout, did you jump, speak in tongues? I'm not asking you that. You know, he's talking about, hey, are you a Christian? I'm a Methodist. And that's what I'm asking you. Are you a Christian? Are you a born-again Christian? Is the power of God working in you? That's the thing. Listen, when you talk to people, what they have seen as Christianity ain't even close. They've got to understand that there's opportunity for the creator of heaven and earth to be birthed in their soul, for them to live and him be with them. That's what you've got to bring them to. He said, I'm not asking that. Here's what he's asking, and I'm asking, this is what I'm going to lay with you this morning, or this afternoon, slightly. What are you eating on? What do you get, excuse me, where do you get your daily diet? Where are you feeding? From the Word of God or some old Icarian that's been used back there years and years ago? Is your experience, even tonight, with something you picked up many years ago, or is it fresh and new tonight? Is it fresh and new today? He's talking about modern day revelation of the Word. Is it fresh and new tonight? New manna, now listen to this, new manna that's just fell from heaven, and you're feeding your soul on it and looking tomorrow for something good and better. So feeding today on the living Word and looking for the same thing tomorrow to lead you and guide you, feeding on the Word day in and day out. Is that what you're doing? Amen? Not a tradition. Well, I'm in the message. No. Are you feeding? Do you know that this Word has gripped your heart? Do you know that every day you just love His appearing? You just want to see more of Him. You want to understand more of the unfolding of His presence. Is that what's there? And if you can't say that, then that's the concern, see? So Brother Bram is saying, looking for something better tomorrow. He said, if you're not that way, now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and your hearts bowed, ask yourself this sincere question, and not to me, but to God, would you raise your hand in a testimony of saying this, God conditioned my soul and my spirit that I can feed only on the Word of God. That's a good thing to ask people.
Amen.
Amen? That's what I ask you. Instead of looking for something and all kinds of dynamic, or just humbly say, God, I realize that this Word is not really what I'm feeding on every day. This is not what has my heart gripped. And can say, God, would you please condition my soul and my spirit that I can feed only on this Word? Not be trying to feed on something else from some other age or some other something outside of Christ. Amen? That's the thing. That's where we want to be. And if you'll do that, if you'll just absolutely conduct your life so that every day you are feeding this on this Word and you're loving His appearing and loving those things, and that's what you seek after, God will do through you what He wants to do. Amen? You will touch others' lives. And it won't be nothing Satan can do to stop it. Amen? And it'll play its part right in the body of Christ where you belong. Amen? But if you try and do it any other way, if it's inspired from denominational teaching, if it's inspired from a denominational spirit that's creeped its way into the message, then you'll be manifesting something else.
Right.
But truly, letting God work through your life and manifest through you His Word for what He's called you to be, then you know that you'll be benefiting the body of Christ the way He has promised. You know, and Brother Daniel speaking the other night about the body of Christ. Amen. Our body of Christ is not divided. Right? Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Our hearts. Thank you for being very attentive. Let's just pray. Lord, as we come now to this portion of the service, many things have been said, but I pray, God, that each one can identify in their own walks, Lord, these things, and they can find places in their life where they want to just lay hold upon you. Let your word be their guide. Lord, that we just humbly serve you, and God, that you would work great things among us, great just revival things that you would just do the beyond what we could ever ask or think, Lord. We know that you can. But Lord, while we're waiting and worshiping and seeking you for these things, we'll praise you and we'll continue to live for you, continue to strive, Lord, to let this word move our lives into the realms that you want it. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. Thank you for these saints that come here and they listen, Lord. They know these things are very serious in this hour. And I just pray, God, that you'll meet them in their prayer closets. Lord, as they pray for this church and each one and for your move, I pray, God, that you will bring that unity to us. Lord, whereas we just read, where your presence can be such that people will come, Lord, their lives will be changed. We commit it to you now and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.